Kids, tell me something. Do you know what you want for Christmas? Yeah? No? Not sure? You only got a couple hours, okay? You better make up your mind, right? Did you make out a list, though, to help Santa out? Did you make a list out? Did you? Do you have an Amazon wish list? Probably you do. Kids are so tech savvy, aren't they? I have an Amazon wish list. And my kids complained to me one time. They said, all you have on that list, Dad, are books. I said, well, I like to read. So they got me a game. I like games too. You know, it got me thinking, what if Jesus had a wish list? Not an Amazon wish list, but just a wish list. I wonder, what would be on that list? Well, we don't really have to wonder, because he tells us. In fact, he mentions at least four things that he wishes for everyone here. Listen, the first thing that Jesus wishes for all of us here is that we experience his joy. In a sermon that he gave, so to speak, at the Last Supper, before he was betrayed and crucified, he said this to his disciples. He said, these things, all these teachings that I have given you, I have given them to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And again, in a prayer to his father a little later that evening, he said, but now I am coming to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. This past Sunday, if you were here, I spoke about recovering Christmas joy, which, as I explained in the sermon, is really recovering the joy of Jesus himself. And the primary way we recover that joy and maintain that joy is by focusing first on Jesus, of course, but secondly, focusing on others rather than ourselves. When you seek joy for yourself, chances are you won't find it, at least the lasting kind of joy. But when you seek joy for others in obedience to Christ, you find it every time. Second thing on Jesus' wish list is he wants us to experience his peace. Twice in these final words to his disciples, Jesus speaks of this. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You know, along with personal joy, personal peace seems to elude a lot of people, doesn't it? A lot of people seem not to have peace. But Jesus says here, peace can be found even in the midst of tribulation, even in the midst of trials. If Jesus is the one providing that peace. As the angelic host announced to those shepherds that first Christmas morning, they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You know, someday the Bible says that Jesus is going to come again. He's going to return in glory, and he's going to establish his kingdom here on this earth. And there will ensue a reign of 1,000 years. And the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, said this. He said, he will judge between the nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Obviously, that hasn't happened yet, has it? We're still waiting for that time, even though those words, if you may know this, are inscribed on the United Nations building in New York City. They took it right out of the Bible. And yet, try as they might, people cannot seem to bring peace to this earth. But the Prince of Peace will someday. But you know, even right now, even though there is still war in this world, everywhere you look, we can know His supernatural peace as we seek refuge in Him. Do you have that peace this evening? Do you really have that? Or is it something you're still looking for? Well, to have the peace of God begins with making peace with God. Because the Bible says, as sinners, apart from Christ, we're not God's friends, really. We're actually God's enemies. And what we need to do is humble ourselves before the Lord and acknowledge that we have rebelled against Him, that we have sinned against Him, and then receive from Him the forgiveness that He freely offers through Jesus Christ. Third thing on the list that Jesus has for us is that we experience His love. In His prayer to His Father again, Jesus prayed, "I have made known to them Your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them." Did you hear what Jesus says? He says that He's asking His Father that the same love with which He is loved by His Father would also be our experience as well. Wow, that's amazing. And Jesus said this, He prayed this with this group of men around Him who He knew within a few hours were going to forsake them. Every one of them ran away from Him when those soldiers came, every single one. Of course, Judas was the one leading those soldiers to betray Him. These are men that had lived with Jesus for 3 years, had seen all of His miracles, had heard all of His teachings. But He proved that He still loved them despite what they did to Him. He loved them because He shed His blood on the cross for them, and not just for them, but for everyone in this world. That is some amazing love, isn't it? Have you experienced that love? If not, what are you waiting for? It's being offered to you right now through the gospel of Jesus Christ. The last thing on Jesus' wish list that we're going to share this evening is that we experience His presence forever. He prayed again in that high priestly prayer to His Father, "Father, I desire that they also, whom You have given to Me, would be with Me where I am." Earlier, He had said to His disciples, "In My Father's house are many dwelling places." The King James says, "many mansions." "I go to prepare a place for You. And if I go and prepare a place for You, I will come again, will take You to Myself, that where I am, you may be also." The Lord's desire has always been to be with His people. Way back in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, it was God's desire to be, and that was the privilege of the first parents, Adam and Eve, to be with the Lord all the time. But then they chose to rebel against the Lord. And ever since then, we too have been rebelling in different ways. Someday, God is going to say, "That's it. Time's up. It's all over. No more opportunity to receive Him. No more opportunity to welcome Him into our lives. No more opportunity to experience His forgiveness from sin and to enjoy fellowship with Him." Are you waiting? Are you putting off a decision that you know you should make, and yet for whatever reason haven't made? You know, I saw a posting on Facebook recently, and it said this: "Each of us is an innkeeper who must decide if there is room for Jesus." Interesting. How about you? Is there room for Jesus in your heart, in your life? Will you let him in? Will you allow him to direct your life as a loving shepherd and as savior of you? Or you can choose to continue to go the way of this world into rebellion. And someday, Jesus will deal with that in his own way. He is waiting this morning. I said it myself. That's all right. This is being recorded, and tomorrow morning they'll say, this morning, yes. He is waiting right now, whatever time it is. He is waiting for you to open your heart, to receive him, to welcome him in, and he will come in.